Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, sorry about that, family. My mic went out on my headphones, so had to borrow leaders' headphones, spiritual leaders' headphones. But today we're going to talk about impressions and, you know, what the Most High is really trying to impress upon us. And several things, but, you know, last week, you know, at the Feast of Atonement, I was supposed to teach, and I wasn't there. So, you know, certain questions and certain thoughts was coming about. One of the things like, you know, who's out in the world? You know, we celebrating this day. Who's out in the world at work? And I was at work. I'm like, I'm at work. You know, I'm not supposed to be here. And, you know, Abba was basically giving a river dance on me, you know, because when the word goes out from the pulpit and the man is speaking, it's not directed towards anybody. But Abba knows who he's directing that message to. He knows, you know, he's directing that message, and it's because of him that your feet hurt, that he's stepping all over your toes. He's doing that. It's not a personal thing. And you got to understand that when I say it's not a personal thing, it's not a personal thing for the man standing up in his pulpit, but it is personal from Abba. You know, we have a story within the time of Joshua when they went up to fight and they lost. So Joshua inquired to the Most High. He said, why did we lose? We didn't do anything wrong. And he said, hold up, I can't go with y'all. Y'all got idols. He said, well, who got idols? And so what he did was he started from a banner with three tribes, and he said, pick this tribe. And then he said, okay, from this tribe, pick this people. Then from these people, pick this family. And from all these people, he narrowed it down to the one family that was screwing up everything. And then they had to get rid of that family. So it was a personal thing. You know, he knows exactly who he's directing a message towards. And so it's up to us to take that message in and understand what he's trying to say to you personally. You know, so I'm going through all that, I'm at work and all somber and everything. And when I get off, you know, Abba started getting my mind going, you know, because it's he needed me to understand some things. And what he was going, he took me through my life. And, you know, I really got to thinking about my whole life, you know, from the time that I can remember, you know, and how things were for me, you know. So father and my mother, my father didn't graduate from high school or anything like that. He dropped out in like sixth grade. But he was a really smart man. And Abba blessed him with the spirit of understanding. He was the type of man who could read something or look at something and understand how it works, how it functions, and this, that, and another. He didn't have an electrician's certificate. He wasn't an electrician, but he could rewire a house. You know, he didn't have whatever certificate you get for irrigation, but he did that too. You know, so there's different things that he did. He could lay sod and all that stuff, and he would have the pipes and everything going under to keep the sod moist. He did landscaping, basically. And he didn't, but he had a sixth grade education. You know, and by the time he did get his GED before he died. But looking at him, by the time I was in like the seventh or eighth grade, he couldn't help me with my homework. You know, so I always looked at him like, nah, you ain't that bright, dude. I'm smarter than you in the seventh grade. But, you know, because in the seventh grade, you know, me, I always had like high grades and, you know, I was a smart dude. Growing up, even, you know, in elementary school, it was about six or seven of us. We scored in the highest percentile in the country. So not just in Maryland, in the country, you know. And going out, we went here, there, and everywhere. In the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I was doing trigonometry, pre-calculus, because these were the type of schools that I went to. You know, they were preparing you for college and the upper echelon of society. Like in elementary school, I had to learn how to waltz, do the waltz. I mean, I had to learn how to foxtrot. I had to learn etiquette, you know, the difference between a soup spoon and a teaspoon and a salad fork and a steak fork. How to line them up left to right. I had to learn all these things. You know, because this was the type of school I went to. And then it was hardly no different going into the middle school. You know, you just learned higher forms of math. I had to take Latin. I had to take German. I had to take French and Spanish. And you're learning all these different things. And you learn them at a level that wasn't there for your parents. So your parents kind of behind if they didn't have that education, but it blows your head up, you know, when you're younger. You know, and my mother graduated. She went to Job Corps. She got her GED out of Job Corps. And she was blessed with the spirit of understanding too, because she dealt with computers when computers were first starting to come out and this, that, and another. Had the little card and this, that, the little punch cards and all that. But then when the supercomputers came around, they gave her a chance at that. And I remember her taking me to her job, and she would show me the bathroom. She was crying because she was the only black person on that job, and the white people treated her real bad. They didn't want to help her or anything like that. And, you know, at the time, her and my mother were separated. It was just her taking care of us, me and my two brothers. And there was plenty of times where she just wanted to quit. She said, I don't want to go through this anymore. But then how am I going to take care of my kids? So, you know, they would treat her real bad. She was like, I'll go in that bathroom right there. And I would cry all night, you know. And I would come back and my work done. And I learned it. And she had to learn a lot of things on her own. So eventually she became one of the best people in there. Eventually she learned the nuances and the secrets of that computer and can run them like nobody else. She ended up running those supercomputers by herself. She didn't need nobody else's help. You know, so she was blessed with the spirit of understanding too. You know? And I'm saying all that, you know, because we get gifts from our parents, and it's up to us to cultivate them.
Man.
You know? But at the same time, as we're cultivating these gifts, we can't get big-headed. See, because there's something that we forget when we get to a certain age where the communication kind of breaks down. Sometimes, and a lot of times, we forget our parents love us. We forget that everything that they did and everything they do is out of love for us. You know, I got to thinking about my daughter and, you know, my daughter, how I would tell her different things, and it got to a point where she just wouldn't listen. And I was thinking about my daughter because Darius ain't to that point yet. You know, Darius still listens to me. He expresses himself and he tells me different things, but he still listens to me. You know, with my daughter, it's a task now, you know, because she got kids and and all these different things. You know, she's a woman, but she doesn't realize that even you being a woman, I'm still your father, I still love you, I still want the best for you. You know, we forget that at one point we couldn't care for ourselves, you know, and out of love, you and that woman, in my case, me and that woman came together. I had a part in you coming to this earth. I had a part of you, part of bringing life into this world. And when I saw you, I was happy and I was joyous, and there was nothing I wouldn't do for you. And that never changed. It didn't change to this very day. It's still the same thing, you know? Because I love you that much. You know, I loved you so much, and this is something I'll think about. Loved you so much that when you doo-dooed on yourself, I wiped your butt. Who wants to wipe a child? Who wants to wipe doo-doo off somebody? You know, and it gets to the point when they know they're doing it, they're laughing. You know, a child laughs when it gets to a point they're like, ha ha ha, you got to clean my butt. And it's kind of funny to them. They're laughing, and you're going, whoo, man, stink. I'm going to wipe your butt anyway because I love you.
Right.
You know, I'm going to eat, chew this food. I'm going to take my food, chew it up to a point where you can eat it because I love you. You know, whenever you yelling and you crying because you can't speak yet, I'm going to do whatever it takes to satisfy whatever need you're missing. You know, I'm going to figure it out. If you want to be held, I'm going to hold you. You want to be, you need something to drink, I'm going to give you something to drink. I mean, what is it? Are you trying to do all these different things? Because you love them. You know, you love them. At the very end of it, it's not just because they're yelling and they're, and I just want the baby to shut up. You love them. You know, and it's like that with the Most High. You know, all the things that he do for us, it's out of love. And that's what he really wants to impress upon us.
Man.
You know, why he even compares us to his daughter of Zion, like a father. Like, what, you know, you got some, like, these women nowadays, these young girls nowadays, I look at them and I wonder how their father let them come out the house looking the way they do, and a lot of times they be with their father, and they're walking or they're with their grandfather, and they're just looking like a slut. Sorry, that's what they look like, and it's like, yo, you the father figure. Why? No, you can't go out there like you can't dress like this, especially around me. Excuse me. Now it gets to a point where they're going to do what they want to do. But that don't mean that you say, no, that's unacceptable. I ain't teach you that. Well, Daddy, all right, I understand. You're a woman. You're going to, but I'm not pleased with that.
Man.
You know? I'm not pleased with that. You know, a lot of times they don't even do that nowadays. They just let them run and roam and lead them to their own devices. And when did that come to play in? You know, you would never let a child, your baby, to his own devices. You would never leave him, just set him down and gone and just gone. You know, you wouldn't do that. So why is it when they get a little bit older, now all of a sudden you mum on the thing? You know, me and my daughter get into it constantly. You know, she don't want to hear it from me anymore. But I got to tell you, I love you. That's the only reason I'm saying all this to you. You know, when she got so upset at me, she was like, I feel as though you don't love me because when I got pregnant and this, that, and all, maybe it wasn't that you got pregnant and this, that, and another, I don't love you. I'll always love you. But I saw the route you was going. I knew the end result. Didn't want you to go down that route because things was going to be a lot harder for you. You know, it's harder for you when you're 17 years old, you got pregnant, let alone you didn't have one kid, you had twins. You know, you had twins. You got double the kids. And then on top of that, they was on two different schedules where one was up, the other one was down. And the other one was down, the other one was up. So, and you talking about you tired. Yeah, you tired. See, but that was the route you chose. I told you don't go down that route. I told you don't go down there because I know the end result. I didn't see the end result. You know? Chose. And I can't keep your choices from you. All I want to do is help direct your paths. Get you, look, this is the way to go. Pick this way. You know, but the way you're going, that's the way you're going to go, but pick this way. You know, that's all the Most High ever did with us. Look, fire, water, pick whichever one you want. Take the water, though. I'm telling you, pick the water. It's great. What we do? Fire.
Man.
Because we don't believe that he loves us. We don't believe there's something hindering us every time that we disobey. It's something that, nah, Father, that can't be right. Father, I just got, you know, and one of the things that a child always says, I just got to know for myself, you know. And that's true. You do got to know things for yourself. But there's this saying that says, a wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. So you don't have to go down every path if you know the result. I don't have to stick my finger in an electrical socket to know that it's going to electrocute me. I believe somebody then been down that path already where I don't have to blow myself up. You know, I don't have to do these things. But, you know, some people get, I just got to know for myself. I just got to know for myself. I can tell you the end result. I love you. I'm going to tell you the end result. You know, and then as you was right, as you, I'm not trying anything about right or wrong. I was trying to save you some heartache. I don't want you to hurt. You know, I know the hurt. I know the pain. I know these things. You know, been through them. I know what you're going to. You know, it's like that song, "If I Could," I think Regina King or Regina Bell sung it. One of them, but he's talking about how she would do whatever she could for our child. I would shelter you from the wind, and you know, I would take away hungry years. I would, anything that she could do for her child, she would do to keep her child from feeling pain. That's how it is with the Most High. Anything that I can do for you, daughter, I'ma do to keep you away from this pain. I don't want you to feel this pain. Look at all the times that he told you, that he told us as a nation. If you keep going down the path you're going to be slaves. You're going to go into captivity. You know, listen to your prophets. Turn back, turn back. I don't want you to go into captivity. Turn back, turn back. Please turn back. Pretty please turn back. Tell them, turn back. Tell them, tell them. And that's what they did. They told them. Yahweh said, you're going to go into captivity. Yahweh said, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. You don't want the captivity. He said, these people are evil. And sure enough, it was some evil folks that came along and put us into some captivity and beat us brutally and brought the pain that he was trying to keep away from us to us, because we had to find out for ourselves. We had to be that disobedient child. The one who don't want to listen to Father, don't understand how much love the Most High has for us. You know, and I honestly believe that's why he keeps on reminding us of what he did in Egypt.
Amen.
You know, the beginnings of that love. I loved you so much that I took you. You were slaves then. I took you out of captivity because I loved you that much. I heard you yelling. I heard you groaning. I heard you. I saw your oppression. I saw all these different things. And I was like, man, my people, I love them. Got to get them. And what did he do? He delivered us, you know, because he loved us that much. He saved us. He salvaged us. He saw that thing within us where he said, this is my kids. These are my children. These are the ones I'm picking over everybody else on this planet. I want these. So these right here, I'm going to take my arm and I'm going to save them myself. You know, I'm going to lead them. I'm going to have a man lead them to this mountain where I'm going to talk to them myself. You know, the relationship that we have with the Most High is like nobody else's. It's like nobody else's. The love that he has for us is like nobody else's. But we the ones keep on being that disobedient kid, that spoiled, disobedient kid who had a lot of stuff he didn't have to work for, he didn't appreciate it. So then when the strap come out, you don't know how to respond. You know? So, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, starting at verse 1, he says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy mighty one. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy mighty one rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of Yahweh, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Yahweh have sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise Yahweh, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So, this is the work that Abba going to do. And this is the work that Abba is doing. But just like a father, what did he say? Those who think about Yahweh, those that make mention of him, keep not silent. It said, don't even give him any rest. Think about what happens with a child when their communication is severed from their parent. How much counsel do they get? Where are they getting their counsel from? And is it good? You know? Because if they're not getting their counsel from somebody who loves them, then where are they getting their counsel from? You know? Think about these things. Think about these things when these children talk to other children about doing things that they know that their parents would tell them don't do, and they're peer pressured into something, as they say. You know, what they're getting counsel outside of someone who loves them, and then they end up going down the wrong path and going there and disobeying something that they know that they ought not disobey. You know, there's a story in the word about the Rechabites. The Rechabites got a word from their grandfather, like one of the elders, and they kept that word from generation to generation to generation to generation. And Abba was like, man, look at these people. Their father told them to do something, and they've been doing it ever since. Their word never went away. It never went away. It was ingrained in their hearts. Why? They knew that their father, when they gave him that command, it was out of love. This is going to keep us. What did he say? This is your wisdom before all the nations. And when people see you doing this, they're going to be like, what a wise nation. You know? Why are we wise? Because the Most High loves us. And in his wisdom, he gave us good counsel. In his wisdom, he gave us his word to keep us and hold us within all this commotion that's going around us. So stick with this word, because I'm your father. I believe it. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding, and the sight of Elohim and men. This is what this word is supposed to do for us.
Amen.
When we obey it. You know, bind it in our hearts. Keep it on the forefront of our mind, so we can find favor with men and the Most High. You know, we have all, what they say, all your bases covered. Heaven and earth will find, give us favor. You know, that is a win-win situation when we do what the word say do, because he gave it out of love. He gave it, this, the whole point of him giving us that word and giving us this was out of love, so his kids can prosper within this world. So his children can show forth his glory and his honor and his esteem, and people we drawn it. Wow, look at these people. Who is it that they serve? I want to be with these people. He say, when they see you doing these things, my father is going to draw these men. He's drawing them. So he's going to increase his family. and they can experience the love that was given to us, you know? Any questions or comments? All right. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. Think of how he's feeling right now. I nourished you, I fed you, I clothed you, take it from a parental standpoint. You do all these things for your kid, and they rebel against you, you know, because they don't remember you wiping their butts. They don't remember you chewing up that food and getting them to the point where they can do. They don't remember you holding on to their hands so they can start building up the strength to walk. They don't remember all these things, but you did all these things out of love for them so they can grow and become men, women, good men, good women, you know? But now they get to a point where you done did all these stuff and they rebel against you. How you feeling as a father? How you feeling as that parent?
Man.
Like, son, come on. Nobody in this world loves you. That has brought me to tears the other day, you know, because I was talking to him about, I forget about what, but the end of the conversation, he sent me a text message. I told him good night, and he sent me a text message with an angry face, and I said, I called him back. I said, man, what's the matter? Why are you sending me an angry face? He said, because you yelled at me. I said, I ain't yell at you. Son, I said, I didn't yell at you. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't yell at you. And I'm not angry at you. I said, don't you know how messed up I am since we've been apart? You know, he don't understand that since we split up, I can't see my son every day. You're all the way out there. And it's like, for years, I wake up in the morning. That's who we saw. That's who I saw. That's who I saw. Every day. Now he's not there. Now I'm waking up to myself. You know? That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do, you know? Because for years, you know, my man would wake up. He'd be the first one in the room. Hey, Dad, how you doing? I kiss my son. I tell him I love him every day. I can't do that no more. And it's a rough thing. So for him to think that I don't love him more, that it tears me apart because that's my man. That's my son. And there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do for him. So, you know, I had to get that straight because I said, he ain't like that. Don't even think anything like that. You know, your father loves you, and he loves you more than you'll ever know. Don't you ever forget that, because every day I tell him, you know, if he don't know anything, he know I love him, because I tell him that every day, you know. But that's what I want him to know beyond anything. Don't ever question that. It's the same way with the Most High. Don't ever question his love for us. No matter what you're going through, however you're feeling, whatever it is you're going through, even if it's a rough time, even if it's hard, even if it's something that is you think is unbearable, you know, his love is still there. And you're going to make it through as long as you adhere to him, as long as you hold on to him. because there is a lesson in it, and it's for your strengthening. You know, look at the book of Job. Look at all that he lost in the beginning. Look at how he was feeling. But at the end, after he went through all the things that he went through, he got backed up. He was rewarded, you know, for him finally understanding that the Most High was bringing something out. Understand. I know you do. And for that, I'm going to give you double everything that you lost, you know. But we just have to keep it going and don't hold on.
Man.
You know, if you lose faith, get it back. You know, if it stretches where you're going, Father, I don't this that. Get it back. If you let loose, what they say, if you take your hand off the plow, put it back on. Don't let go. And if you let go, run after it, catch it, and start plowing again, because this is what we're supposed to do, right? So he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backwards." All because we're not doing what the Most High say. Think about all the life, all the things that your father or your parents told you, son. And you had to come back and say, "Dad, you were right. Mom, you were right. Don't be around it." They would tell you the character of people. You know, watch this one. This one's sneaky. I don't want this person in my house. I don't care. Yeah, that's your best friend? Mm-hmm. Yeah, your best friend a thief. I don't want him in the house. He don't steal nothing. He don't do nothing. Next day, you know, little Johnny then stole something or did something. You were right. Because they see outside of you. And they have friends like that, like little Johnny. They know. They have that experience. You know? So any questions so far? All right? Most High then raised up some children who was hard-headed and rebelled against him, but he still loves them. You know? And it's the same way with us. You know? Your love don't stop for your child just because they're disobedient, just because they didn't listen to you, just because they're giving you hard times, and you know, even when you had to pop their butt, you know, you beating their butt out of love. Look, get straight, son, get straight. I don't want to do this. You know, I just want you to get straight. And if you were straight, we wouldn't even be doing this. All right. In the book of Isaiah chapter 3, starting at we'll start at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "For behold, the Master, Yahweh of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." So just like what's going on with Judah and Jerusalem right now, just like when your kid bad and you take away their iPhone or their PlayStation or whatever it is they got that they value. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. You want punishment now. Well, that's what happened with Jerusalem and Judah. I'm going to take away the eloquent orators, all these smooth talkers. I'm going to take away the counselor. I'm going to take away the captain of 50, the honorable man, the mighty man, the man of war. So there's no protection. You have no judgment. You have no prophet. You have no everything that Judah and Jerusalem needed to sustain itself. Because in most of these cases, they were corrupt. You know, that's what was going on at the time. The judges were not judging righteously. The eloquent orators, when they was the ones, they were the smooth talkers who could talk you into doing things that you weren't supposed to do. The prophets were prophesying, and they weren't prophesying for Yahweh. It was a lot going on with Judah and Jerusalem at the time. So I'm taking all this stuff away. I'm going to take all this stuff away. And at the same time, what do you say? Children going to be your princes, and babes going to rule over you. So it's not going to be people of old age with experience and knowledge that's ruling over you. It's going to be young-minded people with no experience and no knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. Hopefully, you know, and think about that. Well, why did he do that? Well, say again, Aki. That's the way they were. But think about a child. A child don't know much. So he has to go to a father or a counselor or somebody who knows more than him. You know? Your children will ask. A child is supposed to ask questions. You know? They're supposed to go, and they're supposed to go, Mom, what does this mean? Dad, what does this mean? Mom, you know? And these are the people that rule over you. And hopefully they were asking the right people. They were asking Yahweh or asking the Most High, and they was getting the answers from them, so our righteous line could come through. But if you have counselors that's giving you bad counsel as a child, the seed gonna be corrupt. You know? So he says in verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. So you got the children going to rise up against the adults. They're not going to show them proper respect. Why? Weren't raised right. You know, when I was younger, you couldn't just show out in front of an adult. Just couldn't do it. You know, you showed them the respect that they earned. Just because they're older than you. Your mother said it. Your mother said it. My kids, my mother said it. My father said it too. You know, you say, yes, sir. You say, yes, ma'am. You know, they don't do that no more. You know, in a lot of cases. You know, the respect is gone. He said the base is going to show, is going to go against the honorable. People who don't know nothing are going to go against people who are proven. In certain, look at the president. President don't know nothing. He just makes up facts as he goes on. These are facts, you know. But when you check him, you see that he's wrong, you know. And he goes, well, the media and everybody's lying on me. But that's how it is. He's a base man, but he's running the country. And when you have honorable people, people who are in different fields that have wisdom and knowledge on and different expertise, and he goes against them, no, he don't know what he's talking about. But he's a base man. So you see that going on in this world. He says, verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. And that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Yahweh, to provoke the eyes of his glory. So you speaking bad against your parent brings ruin. Real simple. You know, your tongue and your doing, everything that you say and everything that you do was against the Most High. And it brought ruin onto us. Think about your house. Think about your parent has to react against that. Has to. We say it provoked Yahweh, provoked the eyes of his glory. You indeed did these things, and now as a result, I have to react to it. But I'm still reacting out of love because I want you to get right. That's the whole thing. It's not about the punishment. The punishment is coming because you're not acting right. If you start acting right, the punishment stops. You're not punished forever. What parent is, Yahweh said, will my anger last forever? What parent can be mad at their child forever? What parent can? Nobody can be angry at their child forever. No matter what they did. No parent can be mad at their child forever because that's your child. That's your seed. That's you love them. So how can you be mad at them forever? He says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which led thee caused thee to err and destroyed the way of thy paths. Yahweh standeth up to plead and standeth to judge his people. So even with all this anarchy going on, Yahweh is still pleading. Yahweh, just like a father, son, don't do it. Please don't do it. Daughter, don't do it. Don't please. Just listen to me. Just listen to me. That's all they say. That's all Most High is saying. Just listen to me. Let me show you. Let me give you some more of the picture. Let me lay some facts out for you. If you do this, if you do that, if you do this, this is going to happen. That's what's going to happen. This one, and they still going about their way. You know, but you did all that you did, all you could do as a parent, as a father, as a parent. You're going to do everything that you can do to keep your child from going down the path that you know is wrong for them. You know? It says, Yahweh standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Verse 14, Yahweh will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your house. What mean ye that beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Master Yahweh of hosts? Moreover, Yahweh saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and make a tingling with their feet. So now the child is being proud. The child is showing out for their father, you know. So it's sort of like how, you know, how young girls, they stretch their necks, stiffen their necks. That's what the Most High is saying. And then they walk in, and they walk in a way, in a manner like that, like you just don't care what your parents say. And that provoked them. You have to respond in something like that. You have to say, all right, I'm going to leave you to your own devices. And what's going to happen to you is what I told you. But at the end of it all, I'm going to still save you. I'm going to do everything I can to get you out of this situation, you know. But you got to learn this lesson. I can see that you have to learn this lesson. So I'm going to let my hands go. Go ahead. you pick the fire, get burnt. But don't worry, I got some salve and all that stuff. I'll make it better. He says, and with a mincing and tingling of their feet. Yeah, that was it. That was it for that. So you got the child rebelling against the parent, which we do. Parent has to respond. Any questions or comments? Isaiah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now you have in line. See, because after a child then been through some stuff, hopefully they see that your counsel is correct. Some children, after they have seen your father is 50 for 50, he didn't miss, he didn't told you everything right, or your parent didn't told you, hopefully you will stop going against the good counsel. Because as a parent, we don't want nothing bad to happen to you from the beginning. That's the whole point of us telling you this stuff from the jump. So Yahweh don't want nothing bad to happen to us from the beginning. Eventually, you will hope that we would hear and stop going against his counsel, that we would pick him. They seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that day shall the branch of Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the master shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. So the kid been out partying, doing whatever they want, doing this, that, and another. They find, perfect example, prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't want to listen to pops. He wanted to do his own thing. Took his inheritance, what he had, left, partied, did whatever he wanted in the world. Gets to a point, he out of money, all the friends gone, just like his father told him. Look, and a lot of people tell you, your father, look, once that money gone, you're going to have a lot less friends. Oh, once you buy that car, you're going to have a lot more friends. But let your car break down. See how many friends you got then. You know, the advice that you give them. So I'm pretty sure that prodigal son, his father told him some stuff. Look, don't take this inheritance. Don't go nowhere. I want what's mine. I'm going to go, I'm going to do on my own. Okay, go ahead, son. He left, he partied, he did whatever he wanted. Ended up broke. A lot less friends. Started eating the pig's husk. He was dining with the swine. The servants in my father's house do better than this. Let me go home. And when he went home, first thing his father saw him, met him, hugged him. And I'm pretty sure he was filthy. So his first thing, oh man, go take a bath. I love you, son, but you stink. go take a bath. You know, think about your child. That think about a child that then ran away and did whatever they wanted to. Get their mind back together, come home. Most of the time, they stink. The first thing you got to do, take a bath. Go take a bath, man. You funky. Clean yourself up. You know? So that's what the father is doing to all his kids that return onto him. Remember, we was rebellious. He called us a rebellious child. So come on back to me, he said. I'm going to take care of you the same way I did from the birth, from the time of your birth. I washed you up. I cleansed you when you couldn't do for yourself. You know, you don't remember none of that stuff as a baby. They might have pictures of you sitting in the sink, you know, because in black families, a lot of times, we washed the baby up in the sink. You know, if you didn't have one of the little tub things for them, wash them right up in the sink. You know, your parents is there for you. You didn't wash yourself up as a baby. They had to cleanse you. They had to do all these things for you. And it don't stop. You know, how many people, if something bad happened to their child where they couldn't do for themselves, would stop doing for their child because they're a little bit old? No, you would wash them up if they was older. Or it don't make a difference. Your child, you would do for your child. And that's how the Most High is. It don't make a difference what point you are in your walk with Him, what stage you're in. He's going to do for you. You know? He's going to do for you out of love. Just like you as a parent would do for your child out of love. That's the last verse. Isaiah chapter 52. Starting at verse 1. It reads, "Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come in thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive, daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahweh, ye have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Master Yahweh, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemy. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy mighty one reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our mighty one. Depart ye, go ye out from thee. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the mighty one of Israel will be reward." So, that ends the Torah portion. Family, our Father loves us, and He will not do anything to hurt us. Just like you wouldn't do anything to hurt your child, Yahusha had that parable that said, you know, if your child hungry, who would give him a stone instead of bread? You're not going to give your child a snake instead of a toy. You're not going to put your child in unnecessary danger. You're not going to do that. You're going to protect them. You're going to love them. And the same thing is for us. Yahweh loves us. He protects us. Part of salvation is security. To make sure that we are secure, that we are safe. Our Heavenly Father needs us to do our part.
Amen.
Right? Out of love. He gave us instructions to do. He just wants us to obey His word. If we obey His word, it will be good for us in His eyes and in the eyes of men. If you don't believe it, prove them. Just like the words say. Prove it. You know? Anything that you need proof on, prove Yahweh. He said, test me. See if my word is true or not. You know? So any questions or comments about anything? All right. That ends the Torah portion for the day. Kokum. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Sakan, would you close us out, please?
Okay, thank you, O Heavenly Father, for not letting me just do Yah, conform Yah for sure, your word, so that we may have life to give it more than you. Look upon us and all our loved ones, all your children, you and Father, those who desire to be here, and maybe in life, and those, O Father, that I am, in other places in this world, that we are one. And look at it, O Father, with the love that you always have for us. And you let us, teach us, bless us with the spirit, O Father, of grace, humility, and thanksgiving for all that you counsel before us.
Amen.